was born with an amazing gift. Atira has seen and talked with angels and her spirit guide for as long as she can remember. And now she connects you with spirit as the angels answer your questions on past lives, passed over loved ones, dreams, relatives, workplace, and spiritual experiences. Atira is an Edgar Cayce Foundation handpicked psychic and is featured in The Days of Wonder by G.W. Hardin. Atira's magical, uplifting, worldwide readings are just $100 for 45 minutes, which includes an audio tape. Email angelreadings@angelscribe.com. That's angelreadings@angelscribe.com for an appointment, or go to Atira's website at angelscribe.com. For metaphysical, straight talk from the heart, it's Atira, Angel Mystic.
Welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. I'm your host, Atira. And in the last few weeks, we've been talking to a lot of people that are working this wonderful conference for the ARE. And today, it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the airwaves an amazing clairvoyant psychic, Vicki Warren. She's an amazing clairvoyant. I've met her and had the personal privilege of having an experience and a reading from her. She has helped and worked with healthcare practitioners, psychologists, and doctors, and helped with the treatments of many patients. I can't even talk today. Sorry. Patients. And she's also worked with law enforcement agencies. And so I want to welcome Vicki to the show because I want her to tell you personally her adventure and her story of how her gifts came into a manifestation in her life. Vicki, welcome.
Thank you so much, Atira. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah. So you actually came in, much like I did, kind of wired.
At birth, yes.
At birth, yeah.
I came downloaded immediately.
And so we were kind of woo-woo before woo-woo was cool.
That's true.
And actually, I think we're very close in the time period where there was not, there were books out there probably in the spiritualist realm, but really Cayce was the one that woke me up the most. Is that true for you?
You know, I grew up in a town of 8,000 in Colorado, and so there were no books available of any sort about anything woo-woo or metaphysical or New Age, as they used to call it. So when I moved to California at 18, then I really became exposed and found like-minded people. So
found your
child, it was difficult. I'm sure that you understand that to be very different.
Right, so you moved, at 18 you moved to California and kind of found your species, or found at least that there were other people like you. I think for me that was a big revelation when I found out. Actually, my first book was, you know, that really got that there were other people like me was an Edgar Cayce book. So it's exciting to connect with that energy again today of the ARE Association. And so you actually had a life-threatening or experience that kind of jolted you back into this. Is that true?
I did, actually, Atira. I decided at one point that I wanted to experience what it was like to be normal. Well, silly me. Went to work at a compact computer corporation as a financial analyst and just hated it.
That's about as right-brained as you can get.
I know. Worked with numbers all day. And eventually, just after 4 years, got very, very ill. I was in bed for 2 years and eventually given 6 months to live. And at that point, I had 2 years of preparation and wondering and answers, fortunately, on just what was going on in my life. And what I determined was I really wasn't following my life path. I wasn't following my life passion. I wasn't doing the things that brought me pleasure, and I really wasn't doing my job that I came here to do.
Those cosmic wake-up calls sometimes certainly have to be life-threatening before we get it.
Very painful.
And certainly when we have a life-threatening situation like that, you know, it really makes us get more spiritual because, you know, first thing, we're praying to God, trying to get answers. And then pretty soon we're trying to seek within ourselves, and we get desperate. And sometimes desperate gives us the cosmic aha.
Desperation breeds receptivity.
Yeah, it gets us back on track.
Yeah.
And so that we're really listening. I mean, when you're in bed, that's one thing I found out with my cosmic 2x4 being down, is that you listen with a different sense of yourself.
You know, there really wasn't a choice. I didn't have the energy to
do anything else.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but, you know, the mind chatter goes away that's around you about the workaday world and other things. You get quiet in a very different sense. And you have to hang out with you and spirit. So you got this wake-up call, and what happened?
And I said, I give, God, I'll start doing readings again. My hair was maybe not quite an inch long at that point, and I started doing readings, and that was 17 years ago, after being given 6 months to live. I was
Now, had you done readings before sort of the spiritual wake-up call? Had you been a working clairvoyant?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, actually, when I moved to California, I met Sylvia Brown. And then she hired me as a reader.
Yeah, I thought you had a connection with Sylvia.
Yeah, yeah.
So you had actually kind of had the talent and then also had a mentor or teacher in those days.
Yeah, it was helpful. Yeah. And she made it okay to be me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one would think with Sylvia, because, you know, because she came in with it too, so.
She did, absolutely, yeah, yeah. So I worked for her for a while, and then my husband was transferred to Houston, and that's where I currently reside. And I went out on my own and established my business, inspired choices, because our choices are inspired. Or
and
can
everything's
be.
A choice, guys, if you're listening. You know, everything is a conscious choice, even when we pretend we're an autopilot.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I want to make sure that you say your website, how people can go in and get more about you and learn how it works for you, and then we'll talk about how it works for you.
Sure. You can access my site at Vicki, www.VickiWarren.com, and that's VickiWarren.com.
Awesome. So you got your cosmic wake-up call. You do readings. Now, how does it work for you? Because I think every medium gets their information in different ways. We may have similarities, you know, in pictures or hearing and things. But I love to hear how it works for every different reader, because there's always something amazing you learn when you hear it.
There is. And, you know, through my travels throughout the country, I've listened to other psychic mediums and heard their stories. And there is one main vein in that we're all connected to the God source. Mm-hmm. And that's the really most important component of that. When I do a reading, all I want is the birth name and the age. I don't need the birth date because I don't really do astrology. I don't know much about it. But I just want the birth name and the age, and it just kind of opens a file for me. So it sometimes comes like on a TV screen. It can be a ticker tape. It can be like a strobe light where you're receiving information really quite fast. A lot of times it can just, you can sense. I do hear. I'm clairaudient. So there are a lot of different modalities in which that information flows.
Yeah, you're kind of eclectic. You're like me. Kind of every individual is different. It'll come in at whatever modality that's right for that person.
Yeah, you know? And I think so, whatever vibration you were on, you know, but sometimes I can see more clearly than hear. It's like tuning a radio dial.
Right. And it is like that. Sometimes, you know, you have to adjust your vibration to hear more clearly, because sometimes it's muffled. People who don't have this hearing and stuff going on, you know, sometimes it's like, you know,
exactly,
the
yes,
bad
exactly.
cell connection, you know, and you're going, huh? You know, and so it is that we have to kind of adjust things. Now, you have done something. I have done a few, unfortunately, murder cases, but I don't really, it's not something I go out for. You know, I know Sylvia does a lot of murder cases,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, for me, it's hard to shake off. I don't like the gruesomeness of that, but I really do understand that you've worked with quite a few law enforcement and missing persons.
Yes, I have. You know, when I was working for Sylvia, I got called in on a case, and oddly enough, that was when I decided to stop doing murder cases. So I didn't for years and years and years, and then begrudgingly fell back into it. But the first murder case was in San Jose, California.
Wow.
And a young girl had been to a party. I was sitting in my kitchen having my coffee, and all of a sudden this girl who had clearly been murdered appeared. and said, tell the police Mark did it. And so I called my liaison at the police department and gave him all the details. And really, the case hadn't even hit the media yet. So she, what that tells me is she crossed over very quickly, number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, there is life after.
Absolutely.
So she wouldn't be able to communicate that.
And I think it's very important for our listening audience to know that there have been psychics who have been arrested because they got information. There's a very famous one in California where the lady got arrested because she had a vision about this and really found the body and everything, knew too much about it, but had reported to police because she had a dream. And she had not been a practicing clairvoyant, so she didn't have a tracker to say, well, this happens to me quite often. And, you know, they originally arrested her as part of the case.
They did do a background check on me,
right,
on my husband, on my neighbors, just
right.
to make sure that there was no one involved.
You're not nuts, too. You're not a nut. calling
yeah. Fortunately, now the ones that I do work with are very accepting. You know,
well, I think
the ones that don't, that's fine.
Well, psychic detectives on TV certainly has paved the way, and so I think has Sylvia Brown, because, you know, this is, psychic ability is not new. It's been around since the beginning of time, but certainly, you know, society certainly hasn't been open to it. But especially right brain business people, I think it's very hard for them to cross over. So I think probably your right brain analyzation thing that you did all that time for computers probably paid off in dealing, because I really have found out sometimes it's how you deliver the message. The
you know, it's interesting that you say that, because I was forced into at Contact being a presenter, and I was presenting to CFOs, CEOs, and once again out there, and that's something that I had been trying not to do.
Mm-hmm.
I had children to raise. I just wanted to be left alone and raise my children. But I think universe has a way of just pushing you back out there where you belong. And so, yes, again, I'm now in front of people giving
workshops and lectures, which is a great segue.
Yeah.
Thank you for the segue. You're going to actually be teaching right here locally. I wish I was going to be in town, because I'd go to it. I'm going to unfortunately be out of town, but it's fabulous. She's working an ARE conference right here in Seattle, Washington, at a CBEC, and it is called Tools for Taking Charge of Your Life. Our limitless possibilities. Exciting. So tell us a little bit about that outline. Give us just a sketchy outline, because we want them to come to the conference. It'll be great.
I would love them to come to the conference. I first started giving lectures here in Houston at the ARE Center, and now I'm giving this one in July, and then another one in North Carolina in January or February. I can't remember which. But if you're interested in going to this awesome retreat, the ARE number, I believe, for the Pacific Northwest region is 888-812-3386. And I'm sure that they would love to hear from you.
Also, you can go to www.edgarcasey.org. That's the website for the ARE, and they will be able to connect you if you have any questions. They are fabulous about that.
Absolutely. I had the pleasure of lecturing with Kimberly Clark this year, and so I haven't met her yet, so it will be real exciting.
And CBEC is beautiful. CBEC is one of the most beautiful places in Washington State. It is such a treat to go there.
I'm very excited about it, especially with the Houston humidity.
I bet you are. You're going to enjoy our luscious green weather here,
Absolutely.
And the beauty of it. Actually, we've had one of the loveliest summers, so you're going to enjoy it, Vicki. It'll be a lot cooler than there.
Good.
So tell me a little bit. Give us just a little bit of an outline, because I want them, I don't want to give away the whole workshop, but I do want to give them a hint at your structure or belief system in your teaching ability.
Okay, well, my first workshop is going to be Phantom Debt versus Karma. And you know,
boy,
karma,
that's a great one.
We know it means for every action there is a reaction. And if you believe in past life, the thought is that you carry karma forward with you. And we are the result of what we were, and we will be the result of what we are, if that makes sense. And it's kind of a cumulative memory situation. Phantom debt, however, is the attachment that we place on the fruits of our action. So we may be paying, if you will, for things that we really don't have to pay for anymore. You know, it's the coulda, shoulda, wouldas. That's phantom. So it's so I have a 10-page workshop, and we'll be delving into stuff.
Yeah, I really think it's very important for us to clean out our emotional debris fields, because often we are reacting by our parents' belief systems about something, you know?
Well, and that's a good segue into the second workshop. It's Soul Talk, You Can Do It. And that's primarily, you know, as we are children, we enter into agreements or contracts, if you will, with parents or siblings, teachers, and friends. And a contract occurs when you silently and sometimes unknowingly agree to play a certain role, just like on a stage. And so you're trying to fulfill the expectation that others have of you. And how detrimental is that? Because their expectation of you isn't necessarily your life path.
Boy,
so that's
the truth.
Second workshop. And you carry these patterns and roles into adulthood and then find your life isn't working. Well, then it's time to do a cleanse, if you will. You know, it's time to get involved with spiritual hygiene.
Well, I think that is so true, because I know that a lot of people, I really believe, do things and they don't even know they're doing them. But, you know, their pattern is so ingrained that it's become their autopilot.
Exactly. And the worst thing that you can do is go on autopilot. When you are in autopilot, you don't think, communicate, or
feel.
Well,
and you don't make good choices.
No.
And you think you don't have any.
Yeah, you're like a cork bobbing on the ocean. And how good is that? You know, with no direction.
We will open the lines at 11:30, and I want to give you the number so you guys can get the chance to get an opportunity to have a mini reading by Vicki. She's really, really remarkable. The number is 1-877-876-5227 worldwide to call in, and that is 11:30 an hour, so you're going to get us let us talk for another 15 minutes, and then you can call in. Her website is www.vickiwarren.com. It's Vicki with an I. And you can also check the ARE website, which is www.edgarcasey.org. And so it sounds like you, I mean, and I know you've done cruises and lectured on cruises.
Yes,
So that's always fun. Mary Ellen and I have done that, and we love it.
Is there any better place to work than on the water?
It is really exciting and wonderful to do it on the water versus on Mother Earth. There's definitely a different synergy energy that happens when you're out there. It's really wonderful.
Especially when you're a water baby.
Yeah. See, I'm a Taurus. I'm mud. We make mud. Water and earth make mud. But we have a good time in the mud anyway. So let's talk a little bit about also that you really have taken your work also into the medical field. And helped with psychological problems and other kinds of healthcare practitioners. I think that's a fascinating. You know, it's really, you never know where the work's going to take you. You think it's going to look like one thing, and spirit has so many different plans for us.
Oh, exactly.
It's an adventure in life. So tell me how you've done some of that work.
Well, I first started just helping clients. And I think the reason that I'm able to profile murder cases so well is because basically I do that with clients and their emotional state, if you will. So there's a profiling that happens, and I've had a lot of clients tell me, you've helped me more in 1 hour than the medical field did in years and years. Well, that's not what I want to hear, because it takes everyone. It takes a village to help.
I agree with that. I've had so many clients say, oh, Tara, you've helped me in like 15 minutes, and I've been in therapy 20 years. But, you know, that 20 years of therapy laid a good foundation for whatever the aha in that moment was.
Exactly. That
you know,
set you up to hear it,
absolutely.
You know, to get it.
Because
so,
that's core work when you're in therapy for that long. That's
exactly.
Good, deep core work.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is now a lot of psychologists call, and with the client's permission, written permission,
right, exactly.
Or they're in the office, they'll call for a reading. And it really is kind of awesome because, and another thing that I'm seeing now is a psychologist who is metaphysical.
I think there's a lot more psychologists who are metaphysical. Thank you, God. And doctors, actually.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I have to say, not long ago, I was asked to go on rounds with a doctor, and I thought, wow, who would have ever thought that would happen in my lifetime? You know, I, like you, spent so much time trying to be normal, whatever that was, for my mother, you know. But truly, we are the normal now, and I think we are what the future normal will be, is I think everyone will start using their clairvoyance in a very part of their, matter of fact, way of their life.
I agree, and I think that's why the special children are coming in now. Someone has to turn, you know, this situation around. So the more metaphysical psychologists there are, the more special kids, the more parents who help their children acknowledge their own psychic ability.
You know, I would love to ask you a question. You can answer it or not. I didn't get a chance to preface this with you, but, you know, what does your husband think about all this? Is he open metaphysically?
Well, I worked for Sylvia when I met him.
Oh, you did. So he already knew. Okay, yeah.
He knew what I was.
He knew what you were getting into.
What all that meant. We have a real stable factor in that I'm just a wife.
Oh, that's wonderful, yeah.
You know, and it kind of counterbalances. It gives...
But it still leaks over in
balance.
Private life. I mean, you know, I really believe when you're born with this, you know, it's in every aspect of my life. I don't like, you know, I mean, I spent years trying to turn it down, but I don't anymore. But I can remember when I was first married, I would be so careful because I didn't want my husband to, think I was weird. Because I wasn't a working clairvoyant when I met my husband.
Well, I have to be honest, when we're with his work people, that's not something that I just blab.
Right.
You know,
it's an appropriate, you use it to an appropriate situation.
Exactly. There's
Absolutely.
A time and place.
Mm-hmm.
He does believe in me. He does see the bad apples, if you will, and marvels at how that can happen. And so it's a good balance.
That's wonderful.
Because
I think people, it's interesting, but a lot of times I know the public does not get that. Very few times, I think, is it a husband and wife that are clairvoyant and doing this as a team. Usually there's somebody who's very right-brained and in the real world, as I would say, you know, in the non-intuitive world. Because it does kind of ground us. It kind of balances us out, I think, because I think sometimes it would just be too much of that kind of work. It could be overwhelming.
I think like with any job, you can't completely live there.
I don't think anybody can live there all the time 100%. I do think everybody has, especially if you're doing kind of work that you do with, with police departments, murders, different things, you do certainly have to have a shutdown time or a
exactly.
down period.
Yeah.
Because that can make you sick, too. I've seen many, many good clairvoyants get very desperately sick and have to really have some downtime because they didn't take it when spirit provides.
Have a big burnout factor.
I wish I could say I was exempt. One time Dom said I needed downtime and I didn't listen and I got the cosmic 2x4. I didn't like that. But even Edgar Casey was warned many, many times to, if he did not cut back on the amount of readings he was doing, he wouldn't be here long. And unfortunately, he didn't listen. Because of the emotional guilt, I think, you know, because we do try to help a lot of people.
We do. And you know, being in this industry, if you will, the expectation is that we're everything to everyone. And that's kind of a big shoe and kind of an illusion.
It is an illusion. And don't you love it when you meet somebody, well, if you're so psychic, what's my name?
Who cares?
I know. I love it. Or give me the lotto numbers. Honey, if I had that lotto angel, I wouldn't be talking to you. You know, it's true. It's the illusion of how this stuff works and does not work is so amazing to me for the skeptics that don't do the research. Now, for people who are genuinely in search of, people who are really seeking, which are the people that are going to come to this great workshop that you're doing for the ARE at CBEC, you know, their mind is open to the potential and possibilities of the experience, and they get that there's so many ways of receiving information.
Exactly, and they're open.
Yeah, where the skeptic, you know, I will put energy into somebody who is a genuine skeptic asking questions and really open to the possibility, but the closed-minded person, I don't have much time for.
Well, you know, here's the deal. I think I'm probably my own biggest skeptic.
Oh, yeah, me too.
You know, and that's rather humbling. I did an interview on MSNBC here just a few months ago, and the interviewer asked me, how did I handle skeptics? Well, I don't force feed. You take what you want, you leave
right,
the rest.
Exactly. Well, and because you can never really change another person's mind.
No.
Period.
No.
If you have a mother-in-law, you know that.
Exactly.
Another term, yeah. You can't change your mother-in-law's mind. You know that.
Yeah. Well, so, and, you know, I think the
crazy.
Older that we get, the less willing we are to have to prove ourselves to a skeptic.
Absolutely, yeah. Again, the number to call in for a mini reading is 1-877-876-5227. And again, Vicki's website is www.vickiwithanwarren.com. And then you can also find out information through the Northwest chapter of the ARE. And you have that number, Vicki?
Yes, that number is 888-812-3386.
And, you know, I want to mention that because I'm doing all this information lately on the ARE, on July the 5th, I am going to interview Kevin Tetachi, which is the new CEO of the ARE, so that's going to be an exciting show, too. So what has been for you something that was really rewarding for you spiritually in your own journey?
Well, I think being in bed for 2 years and then beginning to see the beauty in life, the beauty in our universe, you know, taking time to smell the roses, watching the shadows dance on the street, you know, watching the moonbeams, took me back to a very basic foundation. You know, like a childlike foundation.
Okay, the beeping means that we have a caller. Yeah, but I want to finish one statement. You know, I think people think because we're clairvoyant that we're fast learners. But, you know, sometimes, Vicki, it takes 2 years to get something.
Well, and we have our own lessons.
Absolutely. Yes. Welcome to the airwaves. Hello.
Hi, good evening.
Well, we can barely hear you, so please try and speak up.
All right, is this better?
That's better. If you'll tell us your name and where you're calling from, and then you can ask Vicki a question.
My name is Julia. I'm calling from Maryland, and I was just basically hoping for a general reading. I didn't have a specific question.
All right, Vicki.
Are you in Mechanicsville, Maryland?
No, I'm outside of Baltimore.
Okay.
Did you need birth name, Vicki? I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I'll just use Maryland. I'm sorry. What was your first name again?
Julia.
Julia. Okay. Julia, who is the male balding on top, salt and pepper hair that's passed over, round cheeks, sparkly little eyes? Is that your father?
Doesn't sound like it, no.
Okay, who is this? Do you recognize this person?
Possibly.
He very much belongs to you.
Possibly could be my grandfather.
Okay, and you were close to your grandparents?
My grandmother, yes.
Yeah, okay. Also, looks like he had some kind of injury that turned his life around in some way. Also, he's showing me a moving truck, so I think you have some changes coming up, and my best advice for you, Julia, would be to just go with that because you've got some very busy energy going on. Probably for the next 6 to 9 months. It's a window of opportunity. Take it.
Okay.
Julia, are you actually moving? Because I actually got boxes.
You know, I would like to.
Careful what you wish for, darling. It's there. It's in the window of opportunity. Because when I see that many boxes, it means you're packing for somewhere.
Awesome.
So, Julia, try and get more focused on what you want it to look like. Because you're kind of playing cosmic chess.
Ooh.
Yeah. Sometimes we do that, you know, we put it out, suck it back.
Oh, am I? Oh.
You let that truck pull up that Vicki talked about.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Did you happen to get a location for a move?
You're in, where did you say you are?
I'm in Maryland now.
Did you get a hit, Vicki?
Well, I'm wondering if there aren't going to be two places. Are you considering going to two different places?
Well, I've got a daughter going to college in the fall, and she's going in Missouri, so that was a consideration, but I'm not sure about that. And a place that I had thought about was Arizona, but that's just a thought, too. They're both just kind of thoughts at this point.
You know, I would get more clear with your manifestation of what you want life to look like for you and then put it out into the universe. There's a big difference between Arizona and, what did you say, Missouri?
Yes.
You know, there's a big cosmic difference. There's a big metaphysical difference. There's a big energetic difference.
That's why I said you're playing cosmic chess. Quit being all over the board, darling, and focus more on it, because I really think it's more Missouri because it's highlighted more.
Oh, really? Okay. Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Do you use a map? I actually use a map. Do you use a map?
The only time I use a map is when I'm working on a murder case or a missing persons case. And in that case, then I get on Google Earth.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What a great tool this internet is anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
I actually look at the map of the United States when somebody wants to move sometimes and see if anything highlights. So it's interesting tools. I love to compare notes because you never know how it works for each other.
Well, the interesting thing, my family just laughs at me incessantly because I can go around the block and get lost. I have no direction.
I know, me either, actually. Welcome to the Airways. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Michael from Mesa, Arizona.
From Mesa, Arizona? Michael, hi. Do you have a question for Vicki?
Is there ever, does Spirit ever give you too much information?
I'm sorry?
I said, does Spirit ever give you too much information? I've had some pretty major experiences, and the time to process all this information is...
Well, you know, Michael, I think that we get what we allow. And so on some level, you've allowed that information to come in. And if you're talking about me personally, sometimes I get more information in a reading than what I really want to say. It just gives me a profile of that person. But if you're getting a lot of information about actions or events or premonitions or, a clairvoyant kind of thing, my advice to you is just protect yourself. Surround yourself with the white light of God.
Yeah, well, some of these experiences, they just happen. I have no control over it, and that's
what's
so
disturbing. Oh, we always
have control, disturbing.
Michael.
Somewhat, but...
Yeah. I'll tell you why. It's again the illusion that you think you don't have control. I really question because really spiritually we have the hand on the dial. How much we get, how much we don't get. So ask
That's
your guys to help you.
You know, I do readings all day, and then my husband will say, "Well, let's go out for Mexican food, maybe." So we go into this really loud, noisy restaurant. Well, certainly I have to turn my dial down because I can't be open to everybody in that restaurant. So you might be going through a practice exercise now where you're just learning to turn the dial down.
And it's unconscious for a long time. I didn't know you could turn it down. Michael, I used to think if something happened down the street, I thought I caused it. So sometimes it's unconscious.
Or had to do something about it.
Or the learning process.
Now, is what you're getting, Michael, frightening you?
I'm sorry, what? I couldn't hear you.
Is what you're getting frightening you?
I have to apologize. This phone is really vibrating very badly. I still couldn't hear your question.
Okay. Does the information that you receive, does that frighten you?
No. I mean, hearing voices and seeing visions, you know, that's not the problem. It's... when they come and take you away without even knowing it's possible, and then
You have absolute control over that, and I don't know who you mean by they take you away. One of the great things that God arms us with before we come here is free will choice. And you are in control of that. That's your free will choice. No one can take that from you.
Mm-hmm. So if you do not want to have this experience where they're taking you away or you're experiencing something, in all of my experiences, I have always been able to say no, to ask for divine white light, to ask for my guides to protect me. Most of us have gatekeepers. Guides, that's their job. So try that, Michael, because we really want you to have a good experience with spirit, not a bad one.
Oh, no, they're all extremely positive. They're just so surreal, it's mind-blowing, just totally demolishes what your concept of your reality is.
Well, I think any time you deal with spirit, it certainly lets you understand the possibilities and potential of what's out there beyond our understanding of mundane reality. I mean, you know, science is just now beginning to be able to measure some of the things that clairvoyants have been experiencing for centuries.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, in 73 I had a near-death experience, and it took me years to process that information to where I could feel comfortable with what happened, and there are a lot of different other psychological issues that happened with that. But
did you hear our show last week? Because we had Kimberly Clarkshire.
That was phenomenal.
Yeah, wonderful information, yeah.
Yes.
Because it does take time to absorb sometimes our experiences.
I think it lets us know, too, number one, how infallible we are here and how vulnerable the possibilities are here, and that there is a higher power and there is another side. There is a heaven. There is life after. Near-death experience can just knock your socks off. I know a lot of people that have had near-death experiences that have come back from that incredibly psychic. It's like a download of psychic data.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye. That was a great question, though, a great example of how, you know, because people get overwhelmed by these experiences. You know, I think sometimes when we've done it so long, we don't think about it so much that, you know, because we know how to use white light. We know how to.
Exactly. And I think because it comes at birth, my husband
one night
at dinner asked me, well, if you had a choice, would you have not been so psychic? And I said, well, I don't know because I don't know the difference.
Right. Right. I actually, in my class a few weeks ago, this lady saw a soldier come in that had passed, and we talked about how to help that person who had passed.
Cross over.
Yeah. And I said, well, what do you mean? I forgot for a moment that it's not their norm, you know?
Yeah.
And so I hadn't really set up to help them know how to pray for a person, how to help them, how to ask angels or ask what their experience they need to process.
One of the things I've been grateful for also.
Because we just grew up with it.
Exactly, yeah. And one of the things I've been grateful for is I don't get, when I get someone that's passed over, I don't get a gory scene like you see in Sixth Sense.
Oh, me either.
Or that kind of stuff. It comes very clear, very clean, and I'm very grateful for that. I don't think that we have to delve into the darkness of it.
I asked them a long time ago that I didn't want to see horrible things, that if I... You know, I didn't need to see all that. I need to have a sense of things sometimes to know how somebody sounds, but I don't have to experience the whole
exactly.
Thing. Welcome to the airwaves, your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, Cynthia from Northern California.
Hi, Cynthia from
Hello.
Northern California. I got
Hello.
A question for Vicki.
I have actually a couple questions, but one, I used to attend Sylvia Brown's church many years ago, probably 20 years ago, and I remember her telling me a couple things. One, she pointed at two of us in the room, and she said, you two have shiny eyes, and it meant something, and I forgot what it meant. So since you were connected with her, do you know?
She said you had what?
Shiny eyes.
Funny eyes?
Shiny.
Shiny eyes.
Shiny,
shiny
eyes. Well, to me, eyes are the spirit of the soul.
Right.
To me, that's what that would mean.
But that's not what she said. I'm not sure she said that we were old souls or what, but I couldn't remember, and I actually tried to get a hold of her office, and I never got a response back, but I thought, well, since you were on the show, it would be helpful.
And well, shiny to me is bright. Shiny to me is white.
It was a room full of people, and she chose a couple of us, and I just can't remember because it's like 20 years ago.
I suggest try just before you go to sleep tonight and ask that question. Sometimes Spirit will bring it back into your consciousness.
Right.
What was your second question?
Relationship. About relationship. Relationship.
You are currently unmarried?
Yeah.
Who is Bob?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm seeing a male about 6 feet. Dark hair, graying on the sides, parts his hair on the side. Sometimes has facial hair and sometimes does not. Likes the outdoors. Hiking. He likes to hike. Do you like to hike?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. He likes to hike, so if I were you, I'd be hanging out at the hiking clubs. I think there is someone coming in for you. You know, here's the deal. I think in the last, 6 to 8 months, probably you've had just some pivotal point. I think had you had a significant other come in before, I don't think you'd be ready. Do you see what I'm saying? So now I think you're ready.
Yeah.
And I think that you're ready for a healthy one, and one that doesn't just want to own you. And I would look at you as a life lesson being not giving your power over to others. You found yourself in that position a lot, and that hasn't served you well. And I think one of the life lessons for you would be hang on to your power, hang on to your personal power.
Mm-hmm. What happened in February of this year for you, hon?
Nothing that I remember.
Kind of look back, because I was shown that all of a sudden that light bulb kind of went on, like it was an aha moment of how you kind of chose people in your life. So I would say you've changed how people come in, how men come into your life.
I agree with that, yeah. And I think that you're going to be choosing a healthier person.
Yeah, you're not going to do fixer-uppers anymore. Because sometimes you get caught up in fixing them, so you don't, it's not about you. Do you understand?
Yeah, so you defocus on you, and that's not what we're here for.
Yeah, I had projects before.
Yeah.
Although I didn't know they were in the beginning.
Oh, honey, put down that cosmic first aid box.
Yeah.
You know, because you want somebody, because you started really working on yourself, so now your law of attraction's changed.
Uh-huh.
So good work.
Absolutely. Good luck.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
He really is quite cute.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Wonderful. Yeah. Sometimes until we focus on, we're so busy focusing on everybody else. Did I lose you, Vicki?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay.
I thought somebody was calling.
No, I just never know when we're going to, do you affect a lot of electronics? I always affect electronics.
Okay, I'm on my third computer in about 3 years.
I know. It's something about that electromagnetic field, and I'm wondering if it's because we use white light so much.
Well, I think so. And the other thing is I'm on my computer a lot when I am working murder cases.
Oh.
For instance, I was given a case about a year ago. It was the Gearing case, and it was a very national case. A man kidnapped his own children from their mother in New Hampshire on a July 4th picnic. The FBI informed me that he did stop in New York and buy tape and ropes and plastic and that kind of thing. But then they lost his trail. So somewhere between New Hampshire, and he was captured in Gilroy, California. So somewhere between that, the two coasts, were the two bodies. He couldn't remember where they were.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I got on Google, and I started tracing. And the, you know, it's like they leave an energy scent.
Mm-hmm. Sort of like a contrail.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think when I'm on Google Earth and I'm doing that kind of thing a lot, I think certainly my hands heat up.
Right, right.
You know, the bottom goes, you know, you can feel that lurch of knowingness.
Welcome to the airwaves. Where are you? What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Dominic. I live in England.
Oh, welcome. Yeah. And your first name is what?
Dominic.
Dominic. Welcome to the airwaves. You got a question for Vicky.
Okay. I got a spirit guide or spirit friend, and I'm trying to find out something about her that I might be able to kind of link with physical reality, like, you know, her past.
Dominic, I can barely hear you. Atira, could you...
Something about a spirit guide. I heard that part.
Yeah, a lady.
You have a lady spirit guide that's working with you, and you want to know more about her?
Yeah.
Ah.
I would say she's a warrior. You've been placed in a position in your family where you've had to be very docile, and it looks like you have a warrior helping you out, where you're going to step out of the mucky stuff, if you will, and become more of a warrior. And I mean a warrior in a good term, in a positive term, you know, being able to communicate your truth more clearly.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah. And especially I see the whole throat area highlighted, and that's all your communication center.
Uh-huh.
So the sooner you learn to communicate in more clear terms, the happier your warrior guide is going to be for you.
Okay.
Dominic, are you also developing, are you actually working with somebody to develop?
Well, I've been developing the last 17 years. I kind of found myself suddenly falling into the deep end and been very kind of miserable, but a long, hard journey to getting myself back on my feet.
Yeah, I think you kind of did a lot of roller coaster riding for a long time because they're saying, you know, you kind of got this huge, big uplift just in the last 6 months. It's like all that roller coastering. Now you're not riding the roller coaster. You're on the platform saying, what was I thinking?
Mm-hmm.
And really getting clarity and support. And that's why this guide has come in to be really help you to be strong and not fall back into patterns.
Yeah, and I'm thinking really helping your communication center assertiveness. If you can take any classes on assertiveness training, not aggressive, but assertive.
I haven't done anything, actually. I've just sort of taken the advice from my spirit friend or guide or whatever.
Well, that's the best source.
Okay. But, I'm trying to think. If she's a warrior, but do you think she might have had a life in the kind of last 100 years or something?
I think you've got two people, because I feel the warrior energy, but I also felt a lady from the 1800s
okay.
in very Victorian dress.
Yeah, well, you know, it's very puzzling. Like, there's this girl. I believe I've seen her kind of physically materialize in outdoor places, kind of modernly dressed.
Hmm.
And I think I might have pinpointed who she might have been, but she might have been kind of living around in the last century. But then she has a kind of a very Victorian attitude and very Victorian dress sense. And it's really, really confusing. You know, she might be kind of...
sometimes spirit guides also adapt to our needs, so it can be confusing. There's some really great work written by Arthur Finley, and that's from your own country, that you can read about that. And it talks about that sometimes a spirit guide that's been with you many times will appear in different time periods or different dresses because are different forms because they've been with you in more than one life.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, I suppose the way she is, maybe she's, you know, kind of amalgamum of I know 7 different lifetimes, all communicating through the same form, maybe. So.
Darling, you don't need us. You got it going on.
Okay.
You've got a direct connect.
You're just checking in to see if you know everybody. If we're getting the same hits as you, we are. So I think I don't doubt it so much.
Okay. The other thing I get kind of a metaphor in that you are really combining old with the new.
Yeah, it's just where I suddenly discovered. Well, I believe she, in her last incarnation, she might have been an actress.
And I suddenly saw
all this TV series, and I was kind of in a state of shock for about 6 months, and I'm still in disbelief because I don't know what happened to her in that last incarnation.
Well, you know, the reason you also may see her in different types of attire, too, because if she was an actress, she played many roles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I see her in Victorian garb, so pretty cool.
Yeah, I see her in Victorian garb a lot, too. She loves Victorian.
She's very, very beautiful, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, she certainly is.
Oh, honey. Yeah.
Yes.
The stuff dreams are made of. So thank you for calling in from there. That's wonderful. But, trust yourself more because you're getting good stuff. You know, look into Arthur Finley, things like that. There's some wonderful classes that would support your journey.
Okay.
The other thing I might suggest, too, is document everything.
Oh, yeah.
Write it down.
Oh, I do that, too.
Yeah.
She helps me a lot with that, to try and get things precise in communicating.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. Well,
lovely to talk to you both. Okay,
blessings. Bye. Bye-bye. That's wonderful when you're getting it all going on.
Oh, it's wonderful.
That's exciting.
And the wonderful thing is that he is open and unafraid.
Well, I think it's a very good point that you can be very confused because, you know, spirit, if a spirit guide has been with, and I don't think I've really heard very many people talk about that, is that if a spirit guide has been with you more than one lifetime, you may see them in a couple forms.
I would agree with that, yeah. You know, and they come to you in the way that you can acknowledge and that you can make sense of.
Right, until you get comfortable with it.
Yeah, that you have soul recognition.
That's why often angels will appear as small, like children with children, so children won't be afraid. So
exactly.
Suddenly spirit
yeah.
comes in many forms. Welcome to the airwaves, your name and where you're calling from.
Julie Washington.
Hi, Julie. Welcome to the airwaves. You have a question for Vicki?
Yeah, I'd like to know what she sees me doing career-wise in the future.
Julie, when I look at you in an archetypal way,
mm-hmm.
and do you understand what I mean about an archetype?
I'm not quite sure.
Okay. Archetype is, I think, what we pre-plan. It's a life theme. It's a life purpose. It's our blueprint in life.
Uh-huh.
I use the word archetype because I just think it sounds so great. But when I look at you in an archetypal way, I see a healer,
mm-hmm.
I see a humanitarian,
mm-hmm.
and I also see someone that is a self-discoverer. So, Julie, when you get the most depressed and the most down is when you need to go take a class or learn something new.
Okay.
Because you are in a constant state of discovering,
uh-huh.
you know, about self,
yeah.
and then applying that to your life. And I think that there is a predisposition to depression in
mm-hmm.
the family, and I think one way you can absolutely break this pattern is to just go take all the classes you want to.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what kind of classes that you would...
I think it doesn't matter for you. I think you like to learn.
Okay.
Now, as far as a career, there's something in the humanitarian and healing arts.
Okay.
Are you currently, are you behind a computer now?
Well, yeah, it's on the other side of the room.
No, I don't mean currently right this minute, but at work?
Oh, no. I take care of my mom.
Well, that's healing.
Right.
That's healing, and I think that's going to probably segue you into something else after that.
Okay.
Yeah, I keep actually getting, too, that you like to take things apart and put them together. In other words, you like to see how things work or tick.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a fascination of in anything that you could sort of break it down, see the psychology, see how it works, see how...
That whole self-discovery thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fabulous thing, though.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Julie.
Bless you.
Bye-bye. Blessings, darling.
You too. Bye-bye.
Self-discovery is an interesting thing because, you know, I think people like Julie are so eclectic that they're jack of all trades, master of many, and that confuses them.
I agree with that. And, you know, I see more and more archetypes with self-discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we don't give enough respect to that because self-discovery, well, what does that really mean? Well, that doesn't mean we're necessarily discovering ourselves, but we're discovering within us how other things work. As you said, taking things apart, looking at them, you know, in a profile sense.
Well, I cannot believe this hour has fled through our time warp so fast that it's almost time, unfortunately, to go off the airwaves. So I want to make sure we give Vicki's number again. Her website is www.vickywithanIwarren.com. Or you can look in and find out more about her through the ARE at the edgarcasey.org website, www.edgarcasey.org. Or you can also call if you're interested in the conference at CBEC, which I think is going to be a wonderful one. I cannot believe I'm missing it. It is July 4th through the 8th at CBEC. And the number for that, Vicki, do you still have that number?
It is 888-812-3386.
Thank you so
and
much.
And I do have a book that we didn't discuss.
Oh, missed the book. I love the name of the book.
It's Coffee, Donuts, and God. And it's what if the premise is we sat with God before we ever came here? And what happens if we're not on our life purpose? And it kind of gives examples of my life and some of my stories. So anyone that is wondering about what path they're on or a knowingness that they're not on the right path, I would recommend the book.
And
anyone that has dis-ease or illness in their life, there's some very positive modalities in that book.
And you can find out more about how to order the book, I'm sure, on your website.
On the web, yes.
But it is called Coffee, Donuts, and God. What a good way to wake up in the morning.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Vicki, for being with me.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
And have a blessed evening.
And you.
And thank you so much for listening tonight, today, and to remember to let your heart light shine, to light your way and the way for others, and to stay wrapped in the wings of angels until we talk again.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Mary Ellen Angel Scribe, author of Expect Miracles and the Angels and Miracles Good Newsletter, can be found at angelscribe.com.